You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, due to time constraints, Don, on the part, whatever part we've just done, part one, is that part one? Time constraints, we stopped because we thought people can't concentrate for more than an hour.
Well, their attention span, that's the audience.
That's it. So now
you've got to know your audience.
As we finished, Don, you brought up a question about, did I watch the World Cup? Ivan, did you watch the World Cup?
No, I was
And your question was, Don, about coaches, I think.
Why,
if I can remember,
why
remind
are they
you
under
what
extreme pressure? Even Graham Arnold, because he was under pressure prior to winning. Oh well, you know, prior to the first game, and also after the first game, there's criticism against France. Yet Australia seemed to be did very well.
Your question is,
you know, now he's a sought after commodity as far as the media are concerned. Why does it? They're under exceptional pressure, the coaches, and I think it's unwarranted. It really depends on the athletes you've got on the field as to how they perform.
Bit like AFL.
Exactly the same. Well Bit done.
Yes, well,
it's
that's
a,
right.
It's a cattle you've got on the ground, and the players for Australia, and I thought they were just fantastic. And it comes back to one thing, Johnny. Put pressure, and it doesn't matter what sport you play, if you can put pressure, defensive pressure on, you cause mistakes, and it's very easy to do. It's not hard to do, putting pressure
on. Well, there's
on.
A revelation, Don. If you can put defensive pressure on people, they'll make mistakes.
Exactly.
That is what sport's about, Don.
That's right, but a lot of people can't do it.
But the statement
they can't
is
do it. They're not
right.
Disciplined to do it.
So probably coaches, AFL, soccer, football, whatever, any sport at all, probably the criticism they get is for not planning the tactics beforehand and having the team play to those tactics. But
tactics go out the door. You don't know where the ball's going to go. We play with an oval-shaped ball that bounces this way, that way.
Don,
you can have all the tactics in the world, but the player has got to make a decision when he's out there, even the round ball.
I agree. Don, you're speaking to the converted. I agree with you. But when you have the ball, no matter what shape it is or what game you're playing, when you have it, you must have a paradigm, that is a pattern of play that all the team stick to. I know when you lose the ball, you're under pressure to try and get it back, but you've got to have a pattern of play, that a modus operandi that you adhere to. And that's where the coaches and the staff come in. Once the game starts, you might as well go and sit up in the stand with the rest of the audience, don't you think?
Mm.
And I thought Graham Arnold was fantastic.
But had Australia have lost, do you think Graham Arnold was fantastic?
You didn't let me finish why I thought he was fantastic, Don. I thought he was fantastic because he was asked about all this, criticised, and he was said the criticism. He said, I couldn't care less about criticism. He said, the people criticising have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what we've planned. They have no idea of the capabilities of what I expect. He said, so you can shout all you like, and you can, these are my words, you can speak all you like about what you think I should be doing, but you have no idea, and so it doesn't worry me.
Yes, but hang on. The media then take up a view, and they influence the people that make the decisions on the coach. Because, and the people making the decisions on the coach have got no idea anyway.
Because they're journeymen, they're hacks.
That's right, but it happens in all sports.
Because they're journeymen and they're hacks. And
who are journeymen?
The media are journeymen who live
But what about the people making the decisions?
Who live vicariously through, they live their lives vicariously through the people they write about and they comment on.
Yes,
and you
but
know
the decision
that.
Makers are influenced by the media because they don't know the product themselves.
That's what Graham Arnold said. He takes advice. Why would he take advice from these people who sit The courage of their conviction is reserved for those people who look on from the sidelines. Now, so on the World Cup, I thought Australia was fantastic and good on them. And the Americans, I'm not sure they were good too.
I think they're unbelievable. The other thing that fascinated me, and I'll say, why doesn't Australian rules internationally looks at Ireland? I would go and look at some of the African nations. Cameroon.
To play Senegal.
To find athletes over there.
Well, that
and bring... No, yes, we've got a couple there, yes. But there are different... depending on where you come from, yes. They're different shaped bodies.
Yes, Don.
But and I would look at, they're very tall. That's what I noticed about the African nations. Exceptionally athletic. Yep. And a lot of them are starting to play basketball in Europe.
Don, we have a little indirect experience with this because you're mentoring a young lad who's been out on my boat with John Locko, a bloke called, his name's Roo. We're allowed to say his name. Roo, isn't he? You listening to me?
That's not his name.
No.
I know that's not it. Do you want me to find his name for you?
No.
It is, Roo. Well, give us his name.
It's like Sam. That's not your name.
Oh, Don, I was speaking to you about the person that we indirectly
know. I know what you're saying, you idiot.
I can tell
you. Keep going.
I can tell you his name. I've got it in my phone here. But I'm just saying to you, he is a tall lad from Senegal, is he? Athletic lad from Senegal. But the thing that he was behind the eight ball, and you pointed this out, and you wouldn't have to be a rocket scientist to point this out, is that if you're not brought up with this game inherently, if it's not innate from your start, it's very hard to understand the ball handling and the positional
play. But the Irish boys, I don't think
because
it's
they play a similar game to us.
But you've got to handle a different shape ball.
No, but it's the positioning and kicking it. If you come from Senegal and you've never seen a football before, but you're athletic, it's very hard to come to. A bit like Mason Cox, who took a while to become adept at playing our game. Don, do you not agree with that? Hello. Would you be hello, Don? Now, do you know what about this? Give us your comment on this. Do you know the Japanese played, and the bloke saved three penalty shootout kicks? The opposition.
Three? I didn't watch that game.
Didn't he?
He saved three.
I believe the Japanese
really.
It got down to penalty shootouts.
Yeah, I know.
And the Japanese
really
got thwarted three times by and that. So that man is
now. Hang on, was Japan shooting?
Yes.
Was he a Japanese goal kick?
No, the whoever Japan were playing, I should know this, but
yeah,
I don't.
You should.
They. It was a nil all, or it was one all? It was a draw,
yeah,
and they had penalty shootout
because which is cruel.
They got through to the, and Ivan's looking it up, please. And he saved three
really?
Shots on goal.
Unbelievable.
So Don, this is not what I brought this up for. The Japanese crowd, the Japanese supporters. Do you know what they did? After every game they played, they cleaned the stadium.
Really?
Rubbish. They picked up all the rubbish. Mm. And they cleaned the stadium. Win, lose or draw.
Really?
They. This is their culture there. How am I going, Ivan? Read it out, please.
I'm just watching Twitter. Even after a heartbreaking World Cup defeat, Japan fans still clean up the stadium.
Yeah. Really? Tell us about Don. I hope I got that right. The bloke saved three penalty shots at goal, I think. Whoever they played. Who'd they play? Anyhow, you'll look that up, Ivan, please. And how about that for a culture of a decency and upbringing to clean the stadium? You make a mess of it, I'll clean it up. And you don't leave it to others.
Made the World Cup and did very well back in the 30s, I think it was, in Scotland or somewhere.
Do you know what you do, Don?
Years ago.
Do you know what you do?
What?
When you're not sure of something, you actually... You don't even speak into the microphone as though you're just trying to think in your own brain. Do you know what Scotland did? I think they
So
might
Japan have played Spain.
And
they beat them. Yep.
Spain Somebody beat them?
No, Japan won.
No, Ivan, man. Get the latest. Japan were put out, I think. Okay. I hope I've got this right. I'll apologise if I haven't. Japan were routed because of 3 penalty shootouts saved by the...
Ivan's got his hand up.
Yep. Okay, so yesterday's results, Japan played Croatia. It's a draw. 1-1 all.
Go on.
Yeah, and then it's got beside it, in brackets, 1 to Japan, 3 to Croatia.
Okay.
What's I don't follow mean? Soccer. I don't know well, what that means.
Well, penalty shootout. Yeah, okay. If it was 1-1 or 1-1 or nil all or 1-1, they had a so penalty shootout.
Read on a bit further, so, Ivan.
Right, okay.
Did the man save?
Yeah, he would have.
It says it's exciting. Croatia advances to the quarters. Yeah. Croatia comes out ahead on penalty kicks 3-1.
Okay, there you go. They saved 2. It was a 1-1 draw. I didn't see the game. But even Croatia, they produce some outstanding athletes, don't they, Croatia?
Ivan, I asked you basketball. To confirm, did the man save 3 penalty shots?
Oh.
And all you did was read out a whole lot of jumbled fucking paraphernalia about...
All right.
Just tell me.
Yes.
Go ahead. Did it?
Yep. No, I don't know. I'm just making...
So isn't that amazing, Don, the Japanese... imagine asking Collingwood supporters after they get beaten by Sydney on the preliminary final to stay behind and clean the stadium up.
Mm.
All right, here we go. I've got it. Croatia reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup in a dramatic 3-1 penalty shootout win over Japan in a tense last 16 clash.
Ended round 16 clash, yes. And does it say that the man, Frank Watson...
Well, we know, Johnny, because he just said it was a 1-1 draw at the end of the game it finished up 3-1.
All
so,
I wanted him to confirm goalkeeper, just for the sake of the conversation...
We know that, Johnny.
Well, I don't know that we do. I don't know that anyone has understood that.
Brick.
No, I'm thick as a brick. Yeah. I know what I know. I don't think most people listening would understand.
Oh, so you're questioning their intellect.
Absolutely.
They're our listeners, and you're questioning.
Don, the majority of the world is not long out of the trees.
Oh, and where do you rank?
Well, we are probably
you. What, you are really out of the trees and everyone else?
Probably. I'd like to think that. Wander around the community, John, and see how many people have been out of the forest longer than you think they have. Hey, God almighty, man, don't tell me that's been a revelation. Ivan's going to read this out shortly.
Oh, no, I don't want
to
do this.
I want you to tell me that the goalie for the opposition saved 3 penalty shootouts.
Come on, I've got to go and collect
now,
some
money.
Now,
hang on a minute, Don. I'm going to ask you now, would you like to know what the hostess said you should be aware of?
We had that 2 segments ago.
You only let me do 2 of them.
No, I'm not interested in the rest of them.
You're not?
No.
I reckon people who listen to this would be interested, Don. I'm going to give you another one. I said the crew assess you when you get on the plane. And then there's a protocol about chatting up the staff. What do you think the staff, the hosties, who people get on pissed like you and they say, hey, g'day, doll, would you like to... what do you think their attitude to that is? So there you are, see? So they are told to have a... In the past, it was quite flattering to be chatted up, but then in the past they're... quite politely asked not to encourage anyone to chat them up. That's what she says.
He or she?
Well, this was the woman that wrote this. Okay. I'm speaking on behalf of all hostesses or hosties or all non-binary people who... they used to have a standard of... an aesthetic standard, hostesses. Aesthetic. They had to look good.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
had to be well groomed.
Yeah.
They had to be not overweight.
Yes.
They had to have good hygiene.
That's right.
And they had to be not too old.
Yes, that's right.
How many of those things have bitten the dust, do you reckon?
Exactly right.
Some of the men and women are fucking porkers. When
porkers.
You get on, they can't even get down the aisle. But this isn't
really?
The name of diversity. Yeah, they can't.
What about the weight they charged?
I know.
Extra?
They can only stand at one end of the plane when it lands, or else it lands on its ass.
All right, next one.
So that was style. I made all that other shit. I didn't make it up, but I added a bit there. Dogs and pets. Now,
you're allowed to take them on board.
Yeah.
They're comfort animals.
I'm telling you this now, Don. If I sat next to someone who came on with a chihuahua or a dog or a fucking lizard or a gecko.
What type of animal would they be allowed to take, you would be tolerant of? A cat?
None.
Now, you're a cat person.
Don, do you want an animal, whether it be a mouse, a rat, a fucking hamster, a parrot, a monkey, a little rhesus monkey, or a gopher? Or a gerbil?
Well, I was just going to, what about a gerbil?
Well, it could climb up your aort while you're on the flight. That might entertain you.
That'd turn you on.
That might turn someone on. I said, could you get rid of that gerbil, please? Yes, just a minute. And you just open your trousers and it gets up your aort. Now, Don.
Excuse me.
That was a bit off that.
Young children.
Young children listen to this, do you reckon? If you got on a plane and someone came on with a comfort animal, seriously, would you sit on a plane from here to New York or London or Dubai with a fucking monkey sitting on someone's shoulder?
It wouldn't worry me if it didn't smell. It didn't smell, or the person.
It didn't smell. What a plane
and
trained monkey.
And the person was a nice person.
So you think it'd be a house trained not to have a shit on a plane?
If I wasn't inconvenienced,
you think a monkey or anything else would be house trained not to have a shit on the plane? Do you? It's all I can do to stop you having a shit in the plane, Don. Talk about monkeys, which you're probably closer to them than
you think
you are. Yeah, I
was just thinking about that. It's 24 hours, if not more, on the plane to London, isn't
it? That's right.
It'd have to relieve itself.
Yeah, so where would it do that?
Yeah,
on your lap while you're sitting next to the person who owns it. And you'd have... She said, monkeys, we've done that. This is more interesting.
Hang on, is this the air hostess who wrote the book?
Yeah, this is more interesting than potholes that you've brought up for the last 4 months.
No, I'm just making it more interesting. You have got no interest at all in potholes.
She didn't say you shouldn't, but she said it's not advisable to have tea. When they come around and say, would you like coffee or tea? Don't have coffee or tea because they don't clean out the water containers that they boil the water in. They very rarely clean them out. And so there's a lot of...
So what are you saying? There's a lot of residue in the water?
Yes, a lot of bacteria. But if you boil the water...
No, it'd be dead if you boil the water.
That's what I said, Don, but then when they let it cool down, they don't bring it out piping hot because they can't serve it to you piping hot and bring it to you if there's 300 people on the plane. She just said be wary of drinking tea and coffee out of the containers that they serve it on. The airline food, she said, is not that...
Jesus, she got a bitch. Has she sacked this bird?
I was wondering about
retired.
That.
Retired.
I was wondering about that, Don.
I think
she
said
the airline food is not that...
I think you should look at her credentials.
Look at her what, Don?
Credentials.
A bit like Sabrina. What do you mean, look at her credentials?
Well, she got an axe to grind.
Aesthetically pleasing.
No, she got an axe to grind. She might have been put off.
I'm just saying, she has written this book and she said the airline food is okay.
Have you read it?
I read the review, what she said, Don. Of course I didn't read it. I'm reading what the salient points were about it. She said, if you want an upgrade, here you are. You know, when you get on, you're all nice to them and you're looking them bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Can I have an upgrade if there's any spare seats? She said, if you want an upgrade, the best place to sit is at the back of the plane because... They usually have, for weight distribution purposes, they usually have to move people from various areas of the plane. And if there's a vacancy up in first class or business, they'll usually go down to the back, she says, and ask people, would they like to be upgraded to the front? That's what she said. And she also said it is safer... This would be obvious because you've never heard of a plane back into a mountain, have you? It's safer to sit at the back of the plane as opposed to the front. But I would suggest if the plane's going to crash, it wouldn't matter where you sit. But that's what she said.
The tail breaks off, doesn't it?
The what?
The tail breaks.
Yes, it breaks off. You might be in it and therefore the rest of the plane might catch on fire and you might be in the broken off tailplane.
Mm.
Well, that's what she said. She said also putting your head in the brace position between your legs is absolute bullshit. That's a myth. All you'll end up is having your head stuck up your ass when it hits the seat in front of you. She didn't say that. I'm just expanding on that. She said the brace position sounds good, but it's meaningless. She said phones, Don, you know they ask you not to use phones. Said absolute nonsense, has no effect on the plane at all, but they just do it so that you haven't got a whole lot of people ringing on the phone. That's what she said. The brace position, blankets and pillows that they give you. Very wary of them because they don't clean them that often and they're not very hygienic. Are you listening to any of this?
I don't think I'll fly in future.
Well, no.
I'll drive.
So that's I found those things interesting about.
Did you really?
Didn't you find them interesting?
Oh, fascinating.
Get onto
riveted.
Riveted. Get onto the potholes again about when you drive.
Yeah,
your
but
car.
If you were to drive your E-Type or your Lamborghini down there, you'd be up in arms.
I do. I drive it down there often.
Where?
I just
to golf?
Told you. I told you
to golf.
Yes.
Which you're going to take this week?
What's that? Man? That's not what we're talking about.
Well,
people might see you out on the road.
Lamborghini or this E-Type or
camel milk, Don.
Hey,
here's have a listen to this. They found out that camel milk.
Camel.
What's that, mate? Come here. Come here. Sit there. What's that?
Speaking
We've
to the microphone.
Just had someone here. Coming off the street.
Yeah, hang on. Speaking to the microphone.
Hang on. What number are you? What number?
Number three. John, hello? Introduce yourself.
Yeah, who are you?
I'm JP.
JP.
I'm a drummer.
JP, what's that?
Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo.
South America driver.
I hate to say Montoya, but that's where you get... Juan Pablo is just looking for my son.
Are you doing an audition,
Don? No, not really. I'm already working for him.
Don.
Yeah. Are they puka shells you have around? Are they puka shells around the neck?
Just introducing Don before
puka.
Hawaii.
Yeah, puka shells.
Don, yep. I was introducing who Juan Pablo is in case people wondered who we're speaking to and you interrupted. Speak to him
Well, we know he's from Chile. He's a drummer.
He told us off
mic. And he's auditioning.
He told us off mic who he was so that this makes sense to people listening. Juan Pablo has come in to look for my son because they do a bit of entertainment together and he's a professional drummer, are you?
I am.
And now, who is your role model in drumming?
Buddy Rich?
There's a few of them.
Yeah.
Depends on what type of drumming
you're talking about. It does indeed. You're quite right, Juan Pablo.
Yeah.
But I remember Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa, and Louis Belson. Belson, Rich, but there's a whole. Phil Collins is a drummer,
yeah,
isn't
that's
he?
That's a good drummer too, but I do Latin drumming, so I look up to people who play Latin drums.
That's not bongos, is it?
The best living Latin drummer for me is Giovanni Hidalgo, which is a guy from
Puerto Rico. Latin drummer as opposed
Latin
to a...
drumming, it's a branch of drumming.
But what do you use, your hands, sticks or what?
Yep, you use your hands, you use
conga.
Sticks.
Is that
congas? Yep.
Congas.
Yep. Congas, bongo.
Bongos. And so how many congas have you got in your ensemble? Have you got different sizes and shapes?
Yeah, I have three congas from 9.5 inches all the way through to 12.5.
How do you condition your hands? Wouldn't that be hard on your hands after a while?
Not if you have good technique.
Right.
If you know how to use your hands.
You don't have to soak them or condition them in any way?
No. Just normal. I patch them sometimes if I'm.
What did you say his name
hours.
Was?
Giovanni.
Giovanni. I've got the Latin drumming up here. What?
Hidalgo with an H.
Hang on.
Hidalgo.
Yeah.
H. H-I.
I.
D-A-L. G-O.
Hidalgo.
He's Puerto Rican.
Drummer. Puerto Rican.
Sad story, but he lost four of his fingers due to diabetes. Yeah.
On the one hand?
Two different, yeah.
Two so different, so there's two on each hand. He's
lost index finger, half of the middle finger, the full ring finger on the left and on the right. See, he's left-handed, so he's dominant when he's playing with the left hand. So that's the worst that can happen to you as a drummer, losing your fingers.
Right.
And then on the right hand, he lost two full.
So how does he overcome that?
And he he's compensating now. So he's playing with a stick on the right, on the left, so the dominant hand for him.
Yes.
And with the right hand, he can still do very good sounds. Even
so, why is he so good if he's deficient in these areas? And he's not. He's just a
legend. He's just a legend. He started playing in the 70s.
Before he lost his fingers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's older now. He's about 70. I think he's 72. Oh,
well, this I've just looked up Hidalgo. This is Hidalgo Jr. This must be his son, is it? Because it said he was born in 1984, and he's an American drummer who plays in the punk rock band Social Distortion. That's not
him. No, different guy. So look for Giovanni.
Italian. He's Italian.
Giovanni. That's a very Italian name, but he's Puerto Rican.
Yeah. Okay. Giovanni. Okay. Hidalgo. Juan Pablo. I don't know why that came up then.
And this type of drumming, is it popular in Chile, or are you unique?
Not really. In Chile, we listen to a lot of European kind of music, American as well. We don't salsa, we don't dance at all.
So why did you get into it?
I lived in the States for 6 years, and I ran across a lot of Latin people from the Caribbean, and I just loved their energy, the way they play music, the way they dance. And I used to be a drummer back in high school, so I played with the sticks.
All right.
And then I got introduced to the African.
So where can people see you? At Graceland?
Yeah, I play at Graceland sometimes.
Now, that's I'm out in Western Melbourne, isn't it? West of Melbourne.
Yeah. So
I've found him. We've got him here. He's born in 1963.
Yeah, that one.
And there he is. So that's he's a star. We've got him. Well, look, Juan Pablo, this is... So what you come in for? You got a gig. Would you go around playing?
No, I just came by to say hi because I haven't really met Jack in person, and he's already hired me for a few gigs.
Good. Well, that's very nice to see you. Good looking young lad.
Thank you. You guys too, yeah?
No, this is how old are you?
35.
Wow, what a very sharp looking man, Don.
He's 90.
Well, you're sharper then because you're 90.
In 90.
Well, it's amazing what a bit of Botox and a few needles will do, Juan Pablo.
Yeah. Don's not long out of a facility. We allow him out. I take him out on day release a couple of times a month, and this is his outing. And he's not too. But we try and smother him a bit because he's a fuckwit. Juan Pablo, delightful to see you. Anyhow,
you too,
all the best with
the
Latin
show.
Drumming. And. Give our
perhaps something you beat something out on the tabletop before you leave. Johnny, set it up, please. Can you do an interview?
Hang on, just a minute.
Bring the microphone over so we can listen.
Shut the fuck up, John. This is Juan Pablo. I've just got the microphone.
Doing some raw drumming.
Very good. Excellent.
Graceland. Graceland.
Actually mesmerizing. That was.
Yeah, I know you were mesmerized. I know. For the first time, you shut up.
That's how you play conga. You use the bass of your hand and the tip. I've come to a workshop for you guys.
Well, what a.
Graceland. Graceland.
All the best, Juan Pablo.
Thank you.
How extraordinary.
Very good.
Now, Don, just before Juan Pablo made an entrance, I mentioned camel milk. Did you hear me say camel milk?
No, you're talking about the ambidextrous hostess.
Who?
Ambidextrous.
Well, wasn't she or LBG? I don't know.
What the fuck? What?
I don't know. I'm thrown now.
Ambidextrous? I don't know.
I mentioned
camel's milk. No, you didn't.
Well, they've now said that camel milk
is... Hey, listen, how long... This section's been going. You remember the
the listener.
The listener.
Don, we've
the attention span of our listener.
We've been doing it half an hour. And this is the last.
I hope this is the last topic.
I'm trying to bring topics up because you bring none. And nor do you, Ivan. Camel milk, they said, is
your show.
Camel milk, they said, they've found out has
what
properties that aid health, like diabetes and dementia. Camel milk. Who do you reckon did the study? I'm making this up.
An Arab.
I reckon the people who own camels made this up so that they camels prices of camels. Do you know they have beauty contests in Saudi Arabia for camels and they Botox
confirmation.
Them? They Botox the camels so they don't have too many wrinkles in their hooter. You can look that up, Ivan. They have
now, hang on. The hooter is pageants. Where the arse or the
look up beauty pageants.
Which end is the hooter? Department of Work are going to wonder what the hell's going on.
Ivan, look up. Camel beauty pageants, and they Botox them.
They're confirmation classes.
They just Botox them before they actually have sex with them. No, I made that up. They don't have sex with the camels.
No.
Where is the hooter?
Hooter's your nose.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean, where's your hooter?
Well, you said hooter, and I'm thinking, where the...
No, here we go.
Which end
go,
is the hooter?
Now, Ivan, here we go.
Here we go. The first thing comes up, camel wins beauty contest in Qatar.
Yep.
Festival without undergoing Botox surgery.
There you are, Don. They Botox the camels. It's a social status to have the best looking camel. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it is.
You can believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is.
You idiot. You think I make most all these things up. So someone's found out that their properties in camel milk are help your health. Who would bring that up? Who would make that study? Then when they said coffee was good for you and black chocolate or dark chocolate and meat and fucking, oh, it's extraordinary. It goes, go on, what, Ivan?
So 43 camels were disqualified because they were found to be given drug enhancements.
Yeah, that's right,
breast implants. And the winner had to be x-rayed to prove it was not surgically improved.
There you are, Don. Have facelift
maybe
for a camel.
Donald Trump can do that with his...
What with his what?
Miss World contest.
I thought you were going to say with his missus. I don't think she needs any enhancement.
Could we put you in a camel No, they'd disqualify you, wouldn't they?
But put Botox. Me in a camel costume.
Yeah, I was just going to say they'd disqualify you.
Put me in a camel costume.
No, contest.
We could go as a... We
no,
could go
because
to
you've had he's drug infused.
We could go to kids' parties as dressed
what,
up as camels.
Zig and Zag.
I could put the head on and you could just be yourself. I could put the head part on, you could just be yourself at the arse end. Now, Don, and now finally, this is my final thing.
Oh, I hope so.
This proves a lie to the bullshit we went through for 3 years with the COVID nonsense about masks and self-distancing and not touching things. They said... Touch screens are the greatest source of infection because they've found all the touch screens on ATMs and things that you touch for directions at supermarkets or things that you touch have fecal matter, shit, have traces of shit, traces of vomit, traces of urine on them. And so when you put a mask on and wash your hands, but go and are allowed to touch ATM machines that spit out the money or Visa machines, you know, credit card machines where you have to press the your code
FPOS
in. FPOS machines where you have to press your code in. All when you go and fill your car up with petrol and you hang onto the nozzle, all these things have more contamination on them than all the bullshit that you had to do by wearing a mask and self-distancing and all that crap that the Premier started with golf, and they said you couldn't play golf, and he just was an absolute tool. And all his that Van Diemen woman and the bloody health woman at the health minister Sutton, they just made it up as they went. They were full of shit. And so someone said that the touch screens that you go around with, that they're out in the community, are
they're
just
a have petri more. Dish.
Have what?
They're a petri dish of
a petri
COVID.
Dish, a petri dish of COVID. Don.
We
well, I just hope Paul and Jack have enjoyed these three segments.
Who?
Paul and Jack, the tradies from the peninsula.
What are they? Is that husband and husband team?
It could be.
Well, did one of them have a wedding ring on?
You don't have to have a wedding ring to be in a relationship.
Of course you don't, Don. No. I was just saying, some people when they're married like to show they're married, and they put on a wedding ring. Mm. You ripped yours off at the drop of a hat whenever you were out so socially or publicly when I was with you. You used to wear one. You say, "Oh, those are good looking," but and you'd fucking whip it off. You could hear it coming off it and go, whoosh, off it had come, and you'd said, "Shit, I hope I don't lose it because I'm going to put it back on when I get home." Don, Ivan, it's been
so
great.
I don't know who wears the wedding ring. Do you think Paul or Jack would wear it?
He might wear a wedding ring. No, I don't know.
They just might be emotionally tied. They might be emotionally tied, very strong.
One of them might wear a cock ring, Don.
A what type of ring?
Another ring, sort of ring. Remember when we spoke to Lana?
Remember.
Lana.
Remember when we spoke to Lana?
From America?
Yeah.
Oh, the...
Is that your phone, Ivan?
No.
It's not mine either.
No, so it only lives one person.
Whose phone would that be, do you think?
We spoke to Lana, who said that her... And you said, or someone said, why did you keep mentioning this? Are you obsessed with this sort of stuff? She said her...
Oh, you're obsessed with all this stuff.
You said that.
Yeah, about you. You're into all of this.
She said that when she spoke to people on the...
You're a little perverted, really.
When she spoke to clients
sickening.
On the Zoom and they showed them their bits and pieces because she was talking dirty to them.
How do you know she was talking?
Because she said that's what some clients like to be spoken dirty to, and she's good at that. And I said, could you speak dirty to me?
She's getting many people ringing from Australia after
Well,
that.
I don't know.
Such as Michael Christian, maybe.
Oh, Michael Christian Menswear. MichaelChristianWinsmere.com. Dot up your ass. He might be speaking to her. Maybe Mick is trying to add a bit of spice to his marriage, and maybe his wife comes along and the three of them chat over the Zoom machine.
Well, he might be getting some material for his comedy act.
No, he's got plenty of that. They keep sending it from all around Australia. He said some of the bluest jokes. He said, I can't send you them.
Is it Rodney Rood? Does he write for Rodney Rood?
He got nits. Nits, fucking nits. That's what Rodney Rood used to say. He got fucking nits. Now, all right. Don.
Anyway, Paul and Jack, I hope you enjoyed these three segments.
So there's something going on with Paul and Jack and you. This is the fourth time you've mentioned them. Are they doing work for you for nothing, or are you paying them, or do you owe them money, or what?
Well,
This is not a trifecta, is it, Don? You're not bumming around with them, are you? What sort of car do they drive? What, a little Austin Healey or something?
No, if you're a tradie, you drive a tradie truck. You know, you've got all the...
A Ranger.
A Raptor.
No, not a Raptor. A Ranger, that's a bit upmarket for a tradie.
Oh, well, what, I don't know. Nissan...
Navara.
Well done, Ivan, I couldn't think of the name. Navara. A Navara? Or a
just
Mazda?
Just an ordinary trade truck with
no, a... The one you've got.
Oh, a bit more sophisticated. Bit better than mine.
Don, that you've built that yourself, that truck, haven't you? You've got an engine from somewhere and you found four wheels and you got a bit of iron and made an axle out of it and the rest is fucked. I don't know how you could drive around in that. If you got onto a woman or a man or anyone that's standing erect and breathing and you called around to pick them up in that, seriously, they'd vomit on it. That is just not even a car. It's not even a vehicle. It's a...
Can I borrow the Lamborghini next time?
This will be good. To go and do some mowing and pick up some hay bales for your horses. You'd have to put them in a very small boot. I'd like to see you put some hay bales in the front of the Lambo, Don. Moreover, I'd like to see you be able to drive it. All right, Ivan. Well, look, that's it. Ivan from...
Back to the mines.
Yeah, I was going to mention Ivan's had a very, very prestigious award given to his family. I'm not mentioning it, don't worry. Mentioning it.
Why? Why would you entice or tent it? What's the word I'm looking for?
Titillate?
That might be a good word.
Yeah, why would I?
Yeah, why would you do that?
Well, I'm not.
So you can't tell you anything. You will open your mouth.
I'm not opening my mouth.
I'm
not opening my mouth. No one has any idea what we're talking about.
Yes, you have. You've excited us.
Go on, what did I say?
Well, now we want to know what Ivan received the award for.
You know what? So you think he received an award?
Yes.
By what I said?
Yes.
Well, you're completely speaking nonsense.
Well, his wife did.
His wife received what?
An award.
I didn't say that.
I know, but you said the family, so I'm putting two and two together.
His wife received
an award for something.
No, she didn't. I didn't say that. No,
you did. So I you did alluded. Not. His you ex- alluded to
his,
that.
I did nothing of the
yeah,
sort.
You can't
I said
tell
the
you
family,
anything.
His extended family.
Oh, extended now.
Well, how do you know what family?
Well,
I'm
it's immediate
about?
Family. It's not extended if it's his wife.
I didn't say it was his wife.
You did. You said family.
Don, it's your family. Have you got a wife?
No.
Right. Well, if I speak about your family, that doesn't include
your wife.
Yeah,
but he's married.
What?
He's married.
Don, if I speak about your family, you don't have a wife. So why do you say if I speak about Ivan's family, why do you assume that that's his wife? He's got brothers and sisters and cousins and relations and uncles
and
aunts.
Cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs.
In the unit.
Yeah. In the unit.
In the unit, he's got cats and dogs.
Man, there's something.
We're making all the. We're sewing all the garments together.
Space
for
Invaders was made inside your head, Don. I tell you what. Whatever the bloke who made Space Invaders.
Come on, hit the button.
Fuck me, Dad. It's fucking frightening.
I'm open around the streets late at night. Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you.